Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
Oh, holy shit, wait, hold on. Let's talk about that beard real quick.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Oh my God.
What's going on, Pete?
Not much, man. How are you, man? It's been I got my Mets hat on. I think everyone's got their Mets gear on. Except for somebody.
Except for that guy over there. His name is Josh. Yeah, that guy.
Okay. Let's do this first. What the fuck did we have made opening day? Who were we playing opening day? Phillies?
Oh, Washington.
Washington, sorry, yeah, okay.
Yeah, DeGrom versus Scherzer. It would have been a nice 1-0 game that we would have blown in the bottom of the ninth, probably. Well, we'd be at McFadden's by then anyway, so who cares?
All right, let's talk about this first of all. Before we even went into the season, there was this whole Astros debacle that everybody was talking about. It was all of what the rage. Everybody was talking about baseball. Everybody was talking about the Astros and what they did and the cheating and all that. Do you think this virus is going to almost – just like ignore the entire cheating scandal?
Yeah. What happened to that? I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Forgot all about it.
I think it'll come back up once all the teams play the Astros in their game. They won't forget about that.
I think Carlos Beltran started coronavirus.
Well, I will say, I mean, the best for the Mets and even the Yankees right now. I mean, we were all, Syndergaard injured. We were already starting shit. You know, even Yankee fans have that. They had a bunch of people. Not that we give a shit, but they had a bunch of people down on the injury list. So it was already going down the road that we've seen it go down many years in a row. So maybe this is the best year for him to get that surgery, I guess, right?
Well, I think it came down to, man, he's too big. Like, yeah. He's running around with his shirt off, and I get it, and what, you know, whatever. But you need somebody lanky. You need a DeGrom. You need that kind of build, because have you ever seen a jacked pitcher before?
No. Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, really?
Back in the day.
Yeah. When we got rid of him or when we had him?
It is a little bit – Noah is a little bit like WWE. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a big wrestler almost. Yeah.
So let's talk about what would have been on the menu for that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. What would have been on the menu for opening day?
Well, let me just say, let's start off with breakfast, lunch tradition, right?
Right.
We got hot dogs. We got kebabs.
Right.
We normally hit you with the breakfast, the Taylor Ham jersey.
Taylor Ham, that's
love it.
Taylor Ham, egg, cheese. I started putting in the hash brown with everything, and people seemed to like it on the everything bagel.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, you know, everybody just started bringing their own food or whatever they wanted to add on. Lexi brought steaks one time.
Yeah.
Chuck brought Chuck.
I didn't make D into this room, but he, you know, he's got a lot going on. So, hello, Mike, if you're watching.
What up, Mike?
But, yeah, man, I mean, it sounded like it would have been a fucking awesome opening day menu.
Have you ever had a bad opening day food experience?
Not with you ever. You know what I mean? The experience has always been top notch. But I can inside the stadium, perhaps, right?
Yeah. I guess, like, if you want to go back to the Shea days, you know, that was shit food.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just happy. I think the times when we had to go across the street to the little Colombian spot.
Oh, the Spanish spot, yeah.
That food was trash.
I know about that spot.
Well, let me get that. How long have you been doing the breakfast? And for people that don't know that are watching, these guys go every year opening day. I only started going, I don't know, a few years back, but you guys have been rocking this for a long time. So how long back have you guys done the breakfast, lunch, tradition thing?
I mean, the breakfast lunch tradition, I mean, we've always tailgated. We just never put that name on it. So,
How long have you been tailgating, I guess, at City, at the Mets for the Met games?
Since I was probably able to drive, let's say.
Wow,
so,
nice.
Yeah, right. So probably like 18-ish, I guess. And we always started off with
– We've been doing the trains for a while, too.
True.
With Chuck, you know, putting us on the train situation to get up there. Yeah. You know, and that was before I was driving.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it goes. It does go back. It does go back to Shea. Then yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It goes,
yeah.
Chuck, speak on it.
Yeah. So what Dan and I used to do. This is the time before like the internet. Yeah. Believe it or not, we were waiting online in freezing cold February to get a couple things: opening day tickets, and Mets Yankees tickets, and Mets Braves tickets. We would sit out there freezing with a little bit of cognac in our North Face just to stay warm for hours to wait online and get tickets.
Facts.
Damn, so it's fucking a long, long time, many years doing this shit.
Shit, we left Jersey at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes I think Dan leaves at 6 or 5. I feel like 1 year was 5.
Yeah, we left in the fives, yes.
Because half the time I'm like, where the fuck is Lexi at?
Well, he gave me every time. It's like a 1 o'clock game, and he's like, meet me here at 5:15, 5:30. I'm just like, how many hours are we gonna tailgate this? Like, that's crazy.
But now you gotta understand that, you know, a lot of prep goes into all this, right?
Right.
So you got the shopping the day before, you gotta load the truck, and then you gotta do a checklist half the time of what you have, because if you don't have it, then it gets messy. So I got the wipes, I got the knives, I got the paper towels, backup gas. Yeah, so you perfect it as it goes.
Now, okay, you started to become famous almost a couple years in a row, right, where the news would jam on you guys and had discovered you. When did the news things first start? A couple years ago, a few years back?
Yeah, we did it 3 years in a row. We've been on Channel 2. Shout out to Captain Rel. That's our boy on Channel 2. Lex, right. You know what's up?
Yeah,
good guy. They zoom right in on us, but the news anchor is different every year. So one time we had the guy. Last two times we had different women. Yes. And I always offer food. And yeah, it's just
sometimes they partake, sometimes they don't. You know.
Yeah, his name is Walter Rella. If you want to follow him, Captain Rel 92. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, so I think we would have had a fucking killer opening day. How did you guys each find out that? When did you guys realize that that opening day might not happen minimally? Because that was fucked up, right?
What about you, Pete? When did you figure? When did you think that?
Well, okay, like March 1st, I was still holding out hope. I'm like, no way, they're fucking going to cancel baseball. They're not going to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like America. You know what I mean? It's like, it's an essential worker. WWE's right. Essential worker. So I was, you know, I mean, I didn't even use that term, essential worker, at that time. You know what I mean? I just was like, oh, fuck, we're all going to rock this out. I was planning it. I'd text Chris, are you going? What's up? Because I was doing the move to LA and all that, you know?
Right.
And then, I don't know, somewhere around like the 7th or 8th, when this shit started to hit the fan, I was like, fuck, man, I wonder if baseball is gonna get shut down, you know, like tricked in my brain for a hot second there. What about you guys?
I think once when I was watching the Big East tournament the first day, and I think they played like one half and they canceled it, I was like, oh, it's about to go down.
Yeah,
everything's gonna shut down. So probably around the same time, March 5th-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the first thing that alerted me to all of this was when they canceled South by Southwest, which is a film festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was like, that's weird. But I was like, oh, they're just so dramatic. You know what I mean? But I didn't realize that what level we were at with this thing, you know? But wow, did that just quickly change? We lost you.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I got incoming calls now, so.
Of course. Yeah. Anyway, so when did you realize it?
I realized it when work started shutting down.
Mm.
And then it realized it hit my industry. And then I said, oh, shit. I go, this is going to be not good. And then all of a sudden, they broke the news. And I think I talked to Lex and I talked to Chuck. And I said, what are you guys thinking? And they're like, Chuck was like, no way. No fucking way. Nope.
That's what happened. No way.
Nope.
Yeah,
not way.
Well, I bought insurance on the flights in February. the first time I ever spent $15, but then I started looking again. The flights were like $39. Might happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, and so like now, if it was opening day, you could just get right back there. But
I would give for the opening day. You know, I would give.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm saying I would give anything to pay the $16 for a beer and watch my Mets fucking play right now.
Exactly. Like, it's fucked up. It's the one thing that's really missing. Like, dude, I'm down with, like, having to stay in the house to a degree. You know what I mean? I don't want people dying and all this shit, too. But, like, I'm cool right. with quarantine. I'm down with, like, you know, watching movies and hanging out, doing this thing. But, like, yeah. no Mets. I can't go
Pete,
back.
Pete, side note. Not side note, but, you know, what are you – are you – Are you souped to go see Dodgers and the Mets?
I will. Yeah. If I mean, hopefully stadiums open up and I will do, I'll do Dodgers Mets. I'll do Giants Mets. I'll do Padres Mets. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I might even do, I might even do a little drive to Arizona. Yeah. If you get me on the right day.
Yeah. Pete, I want you to take, I want you to take a Dodger dog and I want you to take it. I just want you to spike it as soon as you get it and say, let's fucking go Mets now.
But I'll tell you what I won't do. I will not be sitting with the 7 line. You know what I mean?
There we go.
Talk about it.
I support that.
That ain't happening under any circumstance. You know, I'll just – I'll watch them all from afar.
Now, Chuck, would you make your way out to Cali to the game with him?
I would love to go to Sabez Ravine. Maybe make it like a little wine tour slash Mets thing. Yeah. Anytime Olga wants to go like wine country, I'm like, all right, let me check the Mets schedule real quick. Yeah, we can definitely do these 10 days.
I mean, anytime a trip comes up, I'm always like, wait, how is – you want to go to Pittsburgh? Okay, cool. Are the Mets playing? You know what I mean? I always try to sort of thwart that. Man, I'm just bummed by it. You know, I miss baseball a lot. But it's all sports too. I know you guys follow a lot of things. What's it been like for you? I mean, what's it like for you? Forget about baseball for a minute. Dan, I know you're doing some really important shit in the world, and I think it's important
that we shout
you out about what's going on. Tell me what you're doing and tell the universe here that's watching what you're doing.
Well, we got, you know, first of all, thank you. And I don't look for the pat in the back. And obviously, I'm out here because
– Guys, I'm bringing Rich Mancuso in the room, who is a – a legend on WFAN from back in the day. But go ahead, Dan.
Oh, Chuck. I don't know if I can talk over Chuck now. He's going to get into this. No, but real quick, what we're doing, I mean, we're building these temporary tents, and it's out in Long Island, and it's a lot of construction workers, a lot of people busting their ass, 12-hour days, 2 shifts, 2 job sites. It's mayhem, but it's for the right thing.
Yeah.
So like end of the day, by my second coffee break, by 4 o'clock, I am shot. I don't want to do anything, but there's something where you're like, you're putting an outlet in, you're like, oh, this is going to save somebody's life. Boom. I'm going to put that in.
Word.
You know, maybe. I hope it doesn't. I hope nobody gets in there.
Yeah. But you know it's smart, I mean? Man. It's very smart, you know?
Yeah. And, it's definitely rewarding. It's like a self-rewarding thing. I definitely and I appreciate the thanks and all that. But listen, we got to do it. We got to do it. So
now joining us, hey Rich Mancuso's in here too. Rich, there's a button that says start video so we can see you. I don't know if you see that button.
Yep.
There he is.
Hey, how are you,
Rich? Legend. Yes.
Hey guys. Oh, I love that backdrop, City Field, where I should have been today.
Right. Rich Mancuso I found Rich Mancuso because he used to do the overnights on WFAN, doing all the old school
wrestling. Some of my wrestling. I don't know if you can see some of my wrestling photos above my head.
Yeah.
Some of the old timers up there. Yeah, where I'm talking from.
So he used to do the inside scoop thing before it was a popular thing, you know, on the air, on the radio. Yeah. But you're an avid Mets fan like us, and you're a reporter.
I'm not ashamed to say that either.
no fake news here, man. No, just kidding.
No. Did you see my latest Facebook post?
No. What did you write? I missed it.
It was nasty. I called them the dumpster, and I told people, if you don't like what I just said, then do this. Block me or I block you, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of that egomaniac bully every day going on a podium, opening in his mouth with his propaganda, his contradictions, and I'm going to tell you, his bullshit.
That's it. I love it, man.
Why, we don't know where we're headed. That's what hurts. And you know the Tampa, and I don't want to go off course because we're talking Mets here, and yes, I want to do that to get away from all this crap. But you know what? We are in a serious thing here.
Yes.
And I'm worried, you're worried, that one's worried, and he's up there worrying about his reelection. That's all he's definitely worried about.
I agree.
And I am really, really, really worried. I've never been more worried in my life. And I'm telling you, I don't know when. I don't know. I might have done my last Met game last October at Citi Field, because all these websites are not going to be able to cover games when they resume, unless they have the strict testing in place and everything else. We're going to see a totally different world, guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, so how did you find out that that baseball was going to be canceled? Were you shocked? I mean, this is an unprecedented event, right?
You mean canceled as where it is now?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah.
I talked to numerous players, as you know, they always do, and scouts that are in the know that were told to go get off the road. They were told to go home. The players had a little, they were tuned into it a bit. And some other baseball personnel. And you put that all together and they said, look, we're not going to be here much longer because this is getting worse and worse. And so that's how I kind of knew that was the beginning of this. And here we're at, and nobody really knows when they're going to go back, if they're going to go back. And if you ask me, I don't think they're going to go back this year.
Yeah.
It's highly improbable.
And I miss Citi Field a lot. But I, yeah, you know, I guess with that being said, what happens in your opinion, and I'm going to ask the rest of the guys this too, but in your opinion, what happens with contracts and things like
that? Yeah, good question. Yeah. Well, I was discussing this today with a few people in the game and out of the game, and the question comes up to me a lot.
Yeah.
I may not be the best one to answer this, but what I've been able to gather from some of the players that I have been talked to over the last few days, they're getting paid till the end of next month. Now, whether they're going to get in their full salary as if they were playing actual game, I don't know. Wasn't able to get that far. But for what I'm understanding and what I can come up with is that a lot of these contracts are going to be restructured. And they do have insurance, just like any worker would. That's almost like getting laid off, furloughed, or whatever you call it.
Right.
But what I think is going to happen with a lot of the contracts is they're going to be restructured. They're going to be paid, but they're not going to be paid the full that they would get in the contract. So it's going to be all restructured, which adds to more of the mess that baseball is in and what baseball faces as we move ahead. And that includes the free agents, and that includes tenured time towards a contract. What do you call a tenured player now? Because you're going to be losing just about a whole season, and that changes the – that's why I just said moments ago, the complexion of everything. And that's what's happening, and it's facing us just like all the other situations and problems facing us every day with this pandemic. So
it's crazy. And then in terms of, okay, like, so the season started off, how did you feel, and I'm going to ask each of you this, how did you feel Brody did in terms of the off season with the Mets? How did you feel that was going?
I would say on a scale of, 1 to 10, I would give it maybe a 6 or a 7. I think most of the needs have been filled. I think I discussed this with you and I wrote about it. I like the additions of Walker and Porcello, which gave him the pitching depth, and had the season been going on, that would have been really significant now without Noah Syndergaard out for the year.
Yeah.
So, and I felt that, those two additions were very, very important. And, I think that was a need that had to be done. And as far as bullpen depth, getting Betances, assuming he's healthy, that was going to be a key thing too.
Big time.
Because when you look at it, if Betances was healthy and then Diaz and Familia rebounded with Seth Lugo in there, Gesellman, Yeah. And then who am I missing? Oh, it was Justin Wilson, too.
Right.
Coming out of the pen. I felt that was, you know, that was a key. The signing of Betances was real important. And that bullpen would have been very, very important with the new rule, which I was anxious to see, where a guy kind of pen had to face a minimum of three batters.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how that was going to span out, not only for the Mets, but the rest of Major League Baseball. You know, they say to do that to speed up games, which I felt that wasn't going to make a difference anyway. But, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, Pete, I'd say, again, I'd give Brady a 7. Brody.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I call him Brady.
That's okay.
Brody, I'd give him a 7. And I,
you know, don't mention that name around here.
Oh, Brady.
I know that's a tender issue.
Yeah.
But they are, I thought the Mets were going to be on their way to being a contending team all year. I don't know if they would have won the division, but definitely maybe the wild card.
Yes.
And maybe a 90-win season, assuming, again, that the bullpen came through. And, again, I thought, as I told you, too, Michael Conforto, to me, is a key cog in that lineup. He would have started injured. You know, that would have been another story.
Because he was hurt before the
– Yeah, that's right.
So, Dan, what do you think about that? What do you think? How did you think Brody did?
I'm kind of gonna go with Mr. Mancuso here.
Why are you calling me Mr. Mancuso?
I'm trying to be respectful.
Dick. You can call me Dick if you want.
Dick, it is. I kind of want to hear Chuck's input because he's Mr. Statistician.
Yeah, how did you? Brody did. Now Chuck does not care for Brody. So
no, I'm not a big fan. Hey, what's up, Dick?
thank you. What is your what's his name?
Chuck.
Yeah. My name is Charles. Chuck. You call me
Carlos.
Chuck.
Oh, Carlos. Carlos.
Carlos. Okay. Si, senor.
I can't call you Dick then. That's right. But first of all, Mets fans are not Dick, so let's put it that way.
Yankee fans. Right?
I think Brody did the best. I think Brody did the best of what he had to, you know, like what was given to him. If the Wilpons would have sold, it would have been a different story.
Right. That was another thing that came up before this season too. There were so many moving parts before this season. The failed sale, right? That was one thing.
Right.
And now, you know, what happens with that, Rich? What do you think?
Well, it certainly right now it leads to a lot of questions. What happens and. It's on the table, and it very well may be. And, you know, baseball owners are going to lose money and a lot of money. But and it'll always be now that the Mets will lose more money because these guys don't spend. And don't believe that because the owners are well off. They will not. Oh, they might lose and they got plenty more, okay?
Right.
I think that's going to reopen again. I think that, you know, because now everything got quiet and we haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
It's on the back burner, but I think it'll reopen again. I think Steve Cohen definitely still has an interest in being a, you know, major player with the Mets. And I expect that to reopen again. But again, we just don't know when. It's not going to happen now, obviously. And we have a season next year, which we should, then we can open up during the winter.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't think it's out of the question though that he could still have be a part of it, you know, and assume ownership.
Now, there was the rumor and innuendo, I don't know if you guys heard, that there was going to be, we were going to go through the Grapefruit League, and that's how games were going to be played, and everybody.
Oh, I'm all about that.
No, we won. Now, go ahead, Pete. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a feasible option? I don't know.
Oh, it is so bogus. It's unbelievably stupid. Come on, you need to tell me you're going to quarantine players, you're going to have a robot umpire or an umpire 6 feet away from the catcher. You mean to tell me you're going to have players sitting in the stands distancing themselves instead of in the dugout? That's still a part of the second concept that they came out with. That's all it is created a stupid buzz to keep the interest going. 7-inning doubleheaders, which players are not going to want to do, expanded rosters, no minor league system because there'll be no minor league baseball.
Right.
Yeah. That's out. And you're going to need those guys in case someone gets hurt. expanded rosters or not.
Yeah.
I mean, and then what are you going to do? Have teams play in Florida, playing in minor league parks, and teams play in Arizona and minor league parks,
all about
and
it.
Then go into November. Absolutely. Come November, have a bogus World Series, a champion of the Cactus League against a champion of the Grapefruit League. What the hell is this? Sandlot baseball? I'll go to the park and watch a World Series when the parks open up again with the kids.
Yeah.
The Sandlot.
Series at Marlin Park.
I don't know, honestly, guys. I honestly don't know why Major League Baseball even is coming up with such a plan. Right. When I talk to players, they tell me, no way. I'm not going to separate myself from my family.
Right.
Quarantine in the event someone gets sick with the virus. First of all, the fact that there's no fans, that don't make a difference. We may not see fans in ballparks for a long time, so they have the right testing policies, as you know, for this virus.
Yeah.
The other thing is this. When you have a star face of baseball, Mike Trout, coming out and saying, no way, doesn't Major League Baseball, doesn't Commissioner Manfred, don't let me start. I have a name for him. Doesn't Major League Baseball see that the face of baseball is not going to want to do this?
Right.
And if he's saying that, as all the players I talked to mentioned, they heard Trout, they understand where Trout's coming from, and they take the same opinion that Trout has.
Yeah.
Mike Trout is the face of Major League Baseball. Let's face it, guys. Yes. And he comes out and says that. So why is Major League Baseball creating this fuzz and creating a farce when we all know within the next 30 days they're going to officially say, unfortunately, due to, and we'll start up anew next year. They should just do it now.
Yes.
That's what they should do. And then they have to have another spring training, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah. And before you came on, we were talking about injuries and all this stuff. Like you mentioned Syndergaard, the Yankees had a lot of injuries. There was a ton of injuries prior to the beginning of the season. What is your thought on that? Like how do injuries get affected?
Well, if anything, it buys these guys more time to get back.
Yeah.
With the exception of maybe like Syndergaard or Luis Severino, guys like that, because they weren't due back till next year anyway.
Right.
The guy in our case with the Mets, Michael Conforto, if they should resume, well, you know, he's back. Cespedes, probably. He could probably end up seeing Yoannis Cespedes. Jed Lowry, who the hell is he anyway? We never saw him. So, but it does buy guys that have been on the injured list more time to heal those wounds and get back in there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen this year. You just wait till next year. But I think the question is more contracts and free agency, and the Major League Draft. Will there be a draft in June? Which I don't think will not going to happen.
No.
You won't see it in June. They can move it up. But free agency, a guy like Mookie Betts, and I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this earlier today. Mookie Betts may never play for the Dodgers and could be on the Red Sox again, and the Dodgers get screwed in that whole deal.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey,
Chuck, what do you got, man? What do you think? Where do you think we're going?
Well, what happens if Steve Cohen buys the Mets with all his beautiful money, and then Mookie Betts is on the Mets?
Well, you know, that's nice to think, and that's nice to believe, but even if Steve Cohen did buy the team, it wouldn't happen by then anyways.
So. No. Well, and who knows? Our team's for sale right now. You know what I mean? Everywhere in the business, you know, everywhere is closed. Everything is shut down. So is anyone really looking to buy a team at this point, you know?
No. Another good point. It's right now everything's shut down. And nobody really ready to get back to business at all.
Yeah.
And right now the only discussion is if and when.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's on the agenda, and also at the agenda for us.
Yes.
We want baseball. We want to talk about it. It's our diversion besides all sports. But basically, when you look at it now, that's secondary. We need to get back to some type of normalcy as a society. We need to get back into the fold. I frankly don't know when we'll ever see normalcy again,
right,
the way it was. That's more of a concern at this point. So I think the game and all sports in general is secondary at this point. And, yeah, you could think of Steve Cohen being a potential owner of the Mets or anyone else that has the money. But that's right now, I think, just all you can talk is speculation right now. And just hope we can get back to normal first.
Absolutely. To the other guys here in the room, Dan, you were talking a little bit about your industry and what's happening and what you're doing right now. How right before you started doing the tents and all that for the virus, how was your job affected by this?
Well, since our wonderful Governor Murphy shut down all non-essential construction, which you need to do, you know, it was the normal thing. You know, you'd be working and you know you go on to the next job or you sit a little bit, but now it's to the point where there's so many guys on our out of work list. So now the work scene doesn't look so well because now it's going to take everybody to start revamping up again and start doing all that shit. So I don't know. As far as labor unions and all that, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for everything to get back up. But to see what's going on right now and all these tents and all these jobs that are going on out in Long Island, you got to remember, there's a lot, you know, a big up to the nurses and big up to, you know, everybody on the real front lines that are face to face with the thing. But also big up to the construction workers, big up to the hotels that stay open for the construction workers, and big up to the travelers that come from North Dakota, Chicago. Yep. I've met, I don't know, 200 different people. I don't know them, and they're all from all over the country. And they came out just to come here to help, and they already had jobs.
So that speaks,
so many levels that, I don't know. I just, it's something crazy, you know. Nobody's an asshole to each other. It's not a typical union job where everybody's just talking shit. Everybody's like, yeah, I got you. You want to help? Oh, yeah, okay, I got you. All different trades. Yeah. You know, and it does, and I hope that this stays the same way throughout. Like we don't forget what just happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then all of a sudden the next day I'm like, oh, you know, fuck this carpenter, fuck this plumber. You know, like I'm just hoping I'm not like that. But no, it's and everybody out here, by the way, is a Jets Mets fan, which I fucking love.
Right. All right.
But you know, you want to take this step on my end in the business summit.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're hurting. And it's obvious.
There's nothing to cover.
And the editors ask you to come up with something that you can get around. You know, update what are the guys doing or whatever. Basically, nobody's really tuning into that.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of layoffs. ESPN has taken a very big hit. You know, even I've taken a hit a little bit. I mean, I've been told, you know, yeah, we're still going to use you, but not as much. And, of course, that's going to affect me. So, you know, another guy will pick me up to do something else, but it's not going to be the same.
Right.
So on the print end, the electronic as it is more now, the radio side, you've seen what happened at WFAN and other radio stations, and even the TV side, where it seemed to be retaining people, but ESPN has taken a big hit in this, and it's obvious. It's, look, there's nothing to end, so there's no advertising money. There's no revenue. You're going to take a hit. That's what it's all about. The media industry will be totally different as well.
Yeah.
You won't be seeing as many people covering baseball games in the press box, many guys as you used to. That's going to be very, very limited, even when the safety issue is there, when we have safety to be up there. I don't know when we'll ever be able to go back into a clubhouse. That's another story. But the major part of it is guys who's just like you guys, it affected with your jobs. So we're affected. And so major newspapers are going out of business, by the way. And the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the LA Times is down to nothing. And I'm hearing here in New York, the New York Daily News cutting payroll 40%. They really don't have much of a staff as it is, and they might be on their last days. I mean, that's just the way it is right now. It's it hurts. It really hurts. I never thought we'd get to this point. And I don't know how long it's going to take to get out of it.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I'm worried. I'm really worried.
Chuck, I hope you're
all safe, though. I hope you're all well and safe.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit because you're in the restaurant industry, you know, and I know that you're greatly affected in your industry as well. Do you want to speak a little bit about the restaurant? I've done some things about the restaurant industry on this already. What's going on for you?
Well, I'm in North Miami Beach, Florida. My restaurant is on a Collins. If you've ever been to Miami, it's 95% tourism. So my establishment has been shut down since St. Patrick's Day, essentially. And we are just revamping our to-go orders, only on Friday and Saturday. But I will tell you this, we haven't received a dime, not a dime. There is no small business bailout. $30 worth of Ruth's Chris.
Yeah,
they went to your Shake Shack and stuff like that. Us, you know, we have 75 seats. We're not getting a penny. And I'm convinced we're not getting a penny. You know, they can offer you a loan. And if you get the loan, you got to pay that back. But we're tiny. I rent $16,000 for a small restaurant. But, I mean, we're grateful for the business we do get on Friday and Saturdays for some of our regulars. But it's rough. It's rough. But can I ask Rich a question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Rich, who's your favorite host on The Fan right now?
JJ.
Really?
I love JJ. I love JJ. Yeah, he keeps the show flowing. He's very good with the callers. He's knowledgeable. I love his energy. And I also like Sal Licata. I like Sal.
Yeah, I like
Sal. Sal gives me, you know, he's got a lot of old school like in him as a young guy. And
JJ's
Sal's
got a little bit of Mad Dog in him, though.
I love JJ. He's very similar to that, in some ways. But boy, I just love he, you know, I listen to him all night because I can't sleep at night. So
right.
I'm up all night.
Likewise. Yeah.
And I love listening to him. And unfortunately, I've never met him and I don't know him, but he knows who I am.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, he's my favorite.
That's all that matters.
I want to ask Lex. Lex, you're a DJ. I know the wedding industry is fucked right now. So talk to me. I mean, that's another industry in which, you know.
Hey, you want to talk before you go? I said, you want to talk to my buddy here? My best friend is an NYPD officer.
Yeah.
He can tell you how that's affected. He's over
there.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
I could put him on later if you want.
Okay, for sure. Go ahead, Lex, just real quick.
He's busy watching the Michael Jordan thing right now on 30-30.
Yeah,
we all know. We can hear it.
That's a bunch of gar.
Go ahead, Lex.
As far as the DJ business, it's completely at a halt. Nothing's going on. All my parties are getting pushed back. And, you know, luckily they're pushing them back farther in the year. But anybody who just postponed it for a month or so, now we're looking for new dates. Sometimes a lot of dates are already booked, so we're just scrambling around. I had one wedding pushed for next year. You know, it's crazy, but, you know, we're trying to get by with it as far as we can do.
Well, you ain't got my wedding because I'm not getting married anyway.
But it's tough out there, man. It's really tough out there. I mean, like, that's a scary business, too. Like,
it really is.
Anything, you know, Rich, like you're talking about, our stadium's going to be empty, right? Yeah. Are people going to go to weddings? How are people going to feel about going to a restaurant? What construction jobs are you going to have? You know what I mean? Like,
all of the industries
that we are in. You know, will sports writers come back? Will Andy Martino have a job? You know,
the base of the matter is, especially my industry, we're friends and we're not friends. It was competitive.
Right.
And you don't want to see anyone lose a job. That's a horrible feeling.
Right. But you know? Andy Martino, maybe. I'm just kidding.
No, I understand. Like Dan, ESPN, Dan Raphael.
Right.
The main boxing writer who I can't stand. Okay.
Right, yeah.
And there's not many people that do is making six-figure salary.
Yeah.
And when I heard, look, I don't want anyone to lose a job, but I don't feel sorry for him. So, you know what I mean? I didn't feel sorry that he lost his job. I can't stand the guy.
Right. He's an ass.
I mean, that's just a personal thing. I can't stand the guy, but it's going to happen. And it's the unfortunate thing of this pandemic. It's going to happen. The guy that I wish would lose his job is the one running the whole country. That I don't want.
Shit.
I love it. Do you guys have any questions for Rich? Rich, you still follow wrestling too?
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing some wrestling stuff this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you real quick about wrestling, and we'll jump back to the Mets, but what do you think of these empty arena WrestleMania matches?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Bogus. Stupid. Ridiculous.
I tried watching it. I just couldn't get into
that
it.
That wasn't WrestleMania.
No. I don't even know what
That was a WrestleMania. That was an audition. That was a rehearsal.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
And it's so goofballish when they're talking to each other.
And here in the ref.
If you follow my post, if you followed what I wrote on Facebook post throughout all WrestleMania weekend, those two nights of dumb mania, as I called it, pro wrestlers are used to this in one regard. They come up out of gyms, the schooling grounds, and they do rehearsal and they do auditions. So, and there's nobody there to see that.
Right.
One. Before the matches, right, they do rehearses before the TV. They rehearse everything. They'll go in an empty arena at first where there's no one there, especially WrestleMania. They do it all the time. It has to ring out. They work a few moves together. So they're used to that. What they're not used to, though, is knowing it's a big event like that, and taped or not, there's no one there to watch it. And if you're watching Raw and SmackDown and their other programming that they have, and they're doing these live things or tapings with no fans in there, there is no interest. It's like watching a rehearsal, watching an audition. It shouldn't be happening. I don't care if it's entertainment in their regard. Safety, they say, is okay. They get tested and tested and all that. It's just not the product we want to see.
Yeah, it's
and awful. They should just go to a studio format and stop appeasing Fox or USA or the sponsors or whatever's involved. They're losing a tremendous amount of money, like everyone else, but a big entity like them losing more. They lost over, $30 million, not helping WrestleMania the way it wanted in Tampa. They're really fooling themselves by doing what they're doing. And even though the wrestlers are going with their plan, they're not happy about it. They'd rather be home with their families.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, nobody wants to be involved in it.
No.
Yeah. No.
So,
all right, so let me ask you guys this question. Yeah. I don't know when Citi Field is going to open back up. Whenever it does open back up, what is the first thing you're going to run to and eat when you get to Citi Field? A little
food. You want to ask?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you that.
Ask me first.
With
me, the first thing I'm going to do
tonight,
I'm going to say I'm home. That's what I'm going to say.
I love that. Yes, me too.
And then I'm going to run right up to the media dining room where I always go, right? And I'm going to have my nice meal that I miss, okay? And I'm going to see the people that I love.
Yeah,
and I'm going to see the people in that dining room and the security guys and the stadium workers, all those people that make it happen. They're like a second family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go give them a hug and say, good to see you again. I love you guys. It's just so great to be back.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what it would be like for me.
Yeah. Dan, what are you running to when you get to Citi Field?
The Port-a-John first. Shake Shack. I'm gonna run to Pat LaFrieda's steak sandwich.
Oh,
that's my shit. I will pay $16, $17, $18. I don't give
up
a shit.
22 for the year that we missed.
Yeah. Right. I'll pay. Just give me fucking baseball.
So good.
Man,
but that's it. That's what I would go
Buck,
for.
Where are you going? Where are you running to?
The first thing I would do when I walk into Citi Field is go find my good man, Nicholas, the pin man. Give him a big
right.
hug.
We wish him well. He's going through a hard time.
He's got a lot
right
of problems,
now.
Man. A lot of problems. Yeah. I talked to him today, and he thanked me for reaching out.
I love that guy, and I love Eddie the Cowbell Man as well.
Yeah,
Hell yeah. What about you, Lex? What are you doing, man? When you get to Citi Field?
When I get in there, I get plenty of food in the parking lot.
Right.
Shout out to Norman on that. But I head straight to the bridge. I find Chuck. I stand in front of him, and he holds it down. I can see what's going on.
Well, listen, it's great to have us all here and connect. you know, there's – I missed opening day. I missed my home. I missed Citi Field. And I know
Well, Pete, what are you going to run to?
I actually totally agreed with you about Pat Laurinaitis. Yeah, like
that, okay, all right.
That's where I'm going. But you know, I'm gonna just take in the stadium and appreciate it more. That you know we have if it does come back, I don't know if we're gonna ever see games like that for a long time. I think there's gonna be a lot of empty buildings for a long time.
Yeah, you might. I think you know next year. Because they'll give them plenty of time to get all this together till the next late March, early April. And the question is, how many fans are going to go back?
Yeah.
It's going to be such a sellout. You know,
right. Let me ask you, all the guys here in this room, would you go back? I mean, Rich, you're going to go back. Obviously, it's what you do.
Well, I don't know if I'll have a job, number one.
Okay, fair enough.
And the other thing is, we don't know how many media members are going to be allowed to do what we did.
Yeah,
there might be restrictions. MLB and the teams themselves, I've been hearing, it might be different, totally different. There may not be – it's unpredictable. I really can't tell you.
It's also funny because I feel like baseball always – there's always a thing about baseball where it's sort of – you know, you have this log jam in an outfield, right? And it sort of
– yeah.
And it sort of resolves itself in one way or the other, right? I feel this – thing about reporters coming into the locker room was building to a blowout at some point. I mean, look, last year Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas almost knocked a guy out.
Well, there's a lot of stories to that.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me hear.
I'll tell you the real truth about that at another time because I don't know who's watching right now, but I know exactly what happened, and it was. I could leave you with this. It wasn't Mickey Callaway's fault.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But so the thing is, you know, it was building, but now with the restrictions sort of in place, it is possible that that might resolve that particular issue, right?
But it doesn't help us.
Right. For you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help us because we need that access.
Yeah.
Without clubhouse access or even getting on the field, which could be another restriction.
Definitely.
We can't get the information that you guys, the fans, need.
Yeah.
You know, players talk to us. We get stories. That's how we generate buzzes, you know, or things that are happening. We need that. We can't depend on watching and then, you know, what's the use of working then? You know, we have to be there. And the whole part and experience of this job that I do and covering the Mets or any major league team is that one-on-one with the players and that access to talk to them is because you can get the information that the fans want to know.
Yeah.
All right? And without that, it's useless. It just you go to the ballpark, watch a game. I'd stay home, watch it on TV.
Right.
That's all. You know?
Let me ask each one of you guys, which player were you most looking forward to this season? Chuck, who is it? Who is it all about this year?
Diaz.
Edwin
Diaz. Yeah. It's make or break. It's him or Betances. But now, Betances is on a one-year deal. So now what happens?
Well, he'll still have that deal. From what I understand, go back to that contract issue. They don't play a game, he's still on that contract.
Is it a team option for the second year?
Excuse me?
Is it a team option for the second year?
But he has the one-year deal with an option for, I think, a second. But he was signed to 1 year. So he doesn't play a game this year because of the situation. He's still here.
Yeah, because there's been no playing this year.
That's right.
Lex,
and, you know, the fact that they're getting paid is a part of their deal with the owners for two months.
That has nothing to do with the –
That has nothing to do with games on the field. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and not playing games on the field as well. I feel to bring this up. That affects future arbitration and contracts.
Sure.
No MVP, no batting title, no this, no that, all that.
Spring game, nothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lex, who was the player you were most looking at?
I like the toss-up between Conforto and Nimmo. They took a lot to the team last year, and I wanted to see what they would do this year to, you know, get their stats a lot higher. But they did. They played very well last year overall for the whole season, even though we were up and down all over.
Dan, who you got?
Me, if you ask me, I was J.D. Davis.
Yeah, I think
that's... I wanted to fucking see Yoenis Cespedes.
Yeah,
who the fuck I want to see? And I want to see him with fucking Pete Alonso, and I want to see him back to back, and I want to see him jacking shit. Now I know I'm deranged.
No, I don't. So now that Cespedes,
you want to see a wild boar? You want to see wild boars?
No, Cespedes is an interesting one because here's a guy who, you know, probably can come back when the season comes back, right? I mean, he's going to be healed at that point. So if we're saying that the playing time is not affected now that season, you have another outfielder, right? I lost the entire room. The entire room froze. I don't know if I'm still live, but wow. Okay, the entire room froze. Thank you, Zoom, for that.
But there were no wild boars chasing him.
There we go. All right, guys.
But yeah, J.D. Davis is my answer. I'm looking forward to him to have a super year, assuming he played every day.
What about you, Pete?
I was going Alonzo, man. I just wanted to see how he was going to follow up the first season. You know, I mean, he's an incredible person. Like, I mean, he is the next David Wright of our organization.
Yeah.
He's our franchise player. You know, and
McNeil, he's the face. Yeah.
You know, those two guys. I couldn't wait for this year. But you know, I mean, listen. I think Alonzo is going to be solid. A year off for some guys could totally change their trajectory, man. You know. A lot of these baseball players and just athletes in general need that constant playing. That's what makes them better, you know. If they're not in games, I don't know what they're going to do, you know, because they can't even play practice games, right? I mean, they can play PlayStation games, but that's not
going to happen. No, they're, you know, so I talked to JD, I talked to Dom and Smith, who's another one, by the way, that could have been looking forward to him.
Yeah.
Very much.
You know, even Conforto, they really don't have availability to go to fields because they've been knocked down where they live.
Right.
So they do makeshift things in their homes, you know, wherever they are. And that's not, I mean, that's not the same.
That's not reality.
No.
You know?
No. So you would not see a quality ball player on the field if they do resume and the stupid buzz that everyone's been talking about that they've MLB created. These guys are not going to be in shape, and it would be a bad product, and they're liable to get hurt, which makes it even worse. So, you know, I mean, we got to talk about next year, not this year. That's what we got to talk about.
Seriously, guys. Well, listen, guys, this was a lot of fun having my Mets people together because I've certainly missed it, and it was good seeing
you. You want to say hello to Josh?
Yeah, sure. Let's say hello.
He doesn't want to say hello.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of mine. There he is, relaxing.
What's up, Josh? Hey. What's going on, bro? Let's go Mets, man.
Yeah, he's one of those guys out there in the field helping people.
Yeah.
NYPD. So,
good dude, man.
He's a Yankee fan.
Get the hell
You're fucking out of here.
I put up with it, though. I put up with it.
I know. We all have those.
But anyway, all I can say is let's hope that we can get back to some type of normalcy soon.
Yeah, man.
And that we all stay healthy, as I say all the time on my Facebook, Twitter post, everywhere, to be safe, be well, and stick together. We hopefully will never have anything like this again. Though I don't know how long it's going to take to get out of this. I can't believe this has happened.
I know.
It's like I'm going to be 63 years old in a few weeks. And I've lived through some things, but I never thought we'd get to this. This is, I feared we were going to have something major, a disaster, but not like this. But it's like an atomic bomb hit us.
Totally.
And that we are the walking dead, except we don't have zombies walking around.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And absolutely. I hate to say
I miss, I miss that place, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, everything's been disrupted. Even like if you have a favorite TV show that you watch and I have a few, they can't do finales. They can't do a finale.
Yeah.
Production got stopped.
It's crazy.
Everything. Just really, really bad. You know, so I hope you guys stay well, stay in touch. And
you too, Rich.
This is before you guys, I've been all about.
Let me just show you something here. See if you have any interest in any of this Met stuff I have right here in the lounge. You see that?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
You see some of that?
I love this shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you see some of that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of that?
Damn.
It goes to show you how big of a Met guy I am.
And where are the box? Where are the box of tissues?
That's all I gotta tell you there. You hear him?
Oh yeah, that's cool, man. Listen, before we wrap up here, guys, I want to say I'm all about gratitude these days, so I want to say a little something to each of you for being here and something that.
Sorry about that, guys. I wanted that you'd want to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I'm all about gratitude these days, so I really want to say a little bit about each of you for being on the show today. To DJ Lex, I appreciate your energy. Thank you so much for
bringing
me into your wedding, and I appreciated being a part of your day. It was amazing. You got a great family, and
appreciate all you did as well.
Yeah, you're a good dude, and I appreciate you, Chuck. Man, you know, getting to know you, I feel like you are like a brother to me now. Both you and Dan, you know, we've become these Mets and all this stuff. Man, I love texting with you and. Digging deep into what the fuck Callaway did, you know, or whatever. Thank you, man, and I appreciate you very much. And Dan, man, you know, listen, I love you, bro. You know, I think you're a great guy, and you're always there in the need, helping a hand, and I appreciate so much what you're doing. And for Rich,
yeah,
when I was a kid, I spent many a night listening to you live on WFAN with Jody Mack.
And yeah, thank you.
A lot of those years and days of wondering of, you know, growing up and whatnot, and I appreciate the time that you put into that. So.
Anytime. And you know, I'm glad to be a part of what you do, and I'm always there for you when you need me, Pete, and all the guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you know how to reach me, message me on Facebook anytime.
Yep.
And I'll even give you my personal number as well if you do that.
Cool,
okay?
Man. All right, guys.
And I hope to see you all at Citi Field at some point down the line. And
absolutely.
We'll keep in touch, all right?
Good, guys. All right.
God bless you all and stay safe and well, all right?
All right, thanks.
See you in October.
See you, man.